there's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing!
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape begins a journey to fight for a future for apes and humans alike. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
It's Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff, are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddie?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app.
Look like for sure it was going to be way more lessons.
This is Dan Patrick.
Welcome to the program. It's hour one on this Wednesday. A lot of topics to talk about. You can join the conversation dialing up. Tyler standing by, 877-3DP-SHOW. Email address dp@danpatrick.com. Twitter handle @DP Show. Reggie Miller a little bit later on as we recap what happened last night in Denver. And we get ready for game one, the Heat at the Celtics. Also, the longtime Nuggets broadcaster, Scott Hastings, will join us coming up in about 15 minutes from now. Recapping the Nuggets' six-point win last night over the Lakers. Our stat of the day is always brought to you by Panini America, the official trading cards of the Dan Patrick Show, which means the hottest rookies, biggest superstars, the all-time greats. One place to collect them all. Panini Trading Cards, the official trading cards of the Dan Patrick Show. Start or continue your collection now at PaniniAmerica.net. Play of the day, stat of the day, poll question, all of that on the way. Spurs win the NBA draft, and they did it again. If you're looking, if we take Patrick Ewing out of this conversation, so since 1986, you've had Shaq, you've had David Robinson, you've had Tim Duncan, LeBron James, and Victor Wembanyama. So the Spurs have won three of those lotteries. So you got two Hall of Famers, David Robinson, Tim Duncan, and now Victor Wembanyama. If you listen to Adrian Wojnarowski of the Mothership, that is high praise on the way for the 19-year-old out of France.
This is the most highly anticipated player to ever enter the NBA. And this is maybe not only the greatest prospect in the NBA's history, maybe the greatest prospect in the history of team sports.
Wow.
Okay, that's wrong. But no, it is. It is. You know, it's, you know, let's build this up. You don't need to build it up. All right. 7'5", he's got talent, been playing with men, and, but, it, you know, he's not the most anticipated. Yes,
Eden. You know what's funny, too, is that now the way that this industry works, I just heard Brian Windhorst say, you know, according to some people, this is the most, like, yeah, dude, some people is the guy sitting right next to you. It's literally what, like, your co-worker that said it.
Yes, Paul.
I know we didn't have social media. I know the NBA was not as big. But my guess is when Lew Alcindor was leaving UCLA, acquiring Lew Alcindor must have been a gigantic thing and probably the biggest sure thing in sports history.
Yeah, because he was the greatest college player of all time.
Clearly.
And he was going into the NBA. But LeBron, the hype around LeBron, it's nowhere. Victor Wembanyama is still a curiosity. We know that he's got talent. LeBron was on the cover of Sports Illustrated. He was the chosen one. His high school games were on ESPN2 at the time. Dick Vitale went to do one of his games. It's not even close. And I know, Woj, you get caught up in your sport, and you're going to sell the lottery, and this is why you want to watch, and Victor Wembanyama is going to San Antonio. It is a big deal, but he's not. I mean, I can look at other sports. You know, John Elway was the sure thing when he was coming out of college. Andrew Luck was a sure thing, Hall of Famer. I'm not ready to sit here and go, Victor Wembanyama is going to be like Tim Duncan and David Robinson. And if he is, he still is not living up to the magnitude that LeBron did. LeBron had to be great. He exceeded expectations, which weren't even fair. And he's still surpassing them. So that's where I looked at this and I went, Woj, guilty of hyperbole. 10 yards, first down. Like, come on. It's like, you know, if Greeny does this, then I get it. But, you know, Woj has been around the NBA a long, long time.
Any team sport.
Yeah, any team sport.
Best thing from Francis, French fries.
Yeah. And then I wondered, okay, the most highly anticipated, I don't even know if it's, how do you say, because this isn't a team athlete, Tiger Woods. Tiger Woods was on TV at 2. He was on the Mike Douglas show hitting shots. And then throughout his young career, then he became, and you know, when he was an amateur and he ended up winning, you know, the amateur title a couple times. The Williams sisters, you know, their anticipation of turning pro. But Victor Wembanyama right now is a curiosity. You know, a talented curiosity, but nowhere near LeBron James or Lou Alcindor, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar going into the NBA. Not even close. Yes, Eden.
Is it possible we just don't get it yet?
No, I've watched it.
But is it possible, though, that we're just not appreciating it fully yet? Like Nikola Jokic, you have to watch to get it,
yes.
Right? Because he's
yes.
not a human highlight reel. Yeah. You have to watch that game last night to be like, oh, dang, this dude really is all that. Maybe.
Well, I'm not demeaning Wembanyama's game. It's the anticipation of him. That's the difference here. I'm nitpicking. I was just surprised that Woj said that because it's not true. Victor Wembanyama is a great curiosity. How many people know who he is? How many people knew who he was prior to last night? As opposed to LeBron James at age 16. Not even close. Yes.
Brian Windhorst was just saying that he can defend the rim and the three-point line at the exact same time. And that he's like, it sounds impossible, but until you actually see it. But he can do it at the same time. He could block a shot at the rim or get you out at three.
And so could Lou Alcindor. So could Lou Alcindor. Just saying. Just saying. Yes, Mark.
Where does Patrick Ewing fit in all that?
Ewing, that was a big deal, too.
Paul's getting upset.
And he was going to New York, too. Yes, Paul.
Yeah, I don't. You know, Victor Wembanyama has been very famous the past year-ish.
Yeah.
Patrick Ewing was a household name for 4 seasons in college. A household name. You didn't even have to. College basketball is probably bigger than pros when Ewing was there. And when he went to the Knicks, it was bigger than him, the Spurs getting Wembanyama, clearly.
I don't know that those are fair comparisons. Because, like you said, Patrick Ewing played here for 4 years, so we knew exactly who he was. And it was like, wow, can't wait to see this guy in the NBA. This dude coming in is like almost a complete unknown. So the anticipation of it is way more exciting than Patrick Ewing.
There's a mystery to him.
Yeah, the mystery, exactly.
Yes, absolutely. But it's, we forget, I mean, LeBron James, that was a huge deal. You're the chosen one. You're King James. You're on the cover of Sports Illustrated. You're 16 years of age.
Still hasn't lived up to the hype.
Well, yeah.
And in a weird way.
Oh, no, he has. He's exceeded it.
Not for some people.
Okay, here's something for you. Okay. And then we'll get to the Lakers game last night against the Nuggets. The Spurs won the lottery. 9 players who are 7'5 or taller have played in the NBA. How many players have averaged at least 10 points per game? So 9 players, 7'5 or taller, have played in the NBA. How many have averaged at least 10 points per game? Paulie?
I'll go Yao Ming and Sean Bradley. I think those are 2. Mark Eaton, I don't think Mark Eaton was that tall. And I don't think he averaged that points. Those are my guesses.
9 players, Yao Ming is the only player to average at least 10 points per game. He averaged 19 points. You got Sean Bradley in there, Yao Ming, Manute Bol. But these are the players who are 7'5 or taller, and that's what Victor Wembanyama is. But you know, he's got more offensive skills than... You know, I thought Sean Bradley was going to be a great player. And because he was 7'5", he was 7'6", he could run the floor, he had nice touch, but he just never lived up to what the billing was. And then Yao Ming averaged 19 points per game. But maybe, you just put that into perspective, but the game has certainly changed, and Victor Wembanyama is ready for that that new NBA, which is a lot more freedom. You don't have to have the big guy down on the block, but he can play on the block, but he can also play out on the perimeter, and he plays both ends of the floor. But I know I got caught up in the hyperbole here because I'm thinking you don't need the hyperbole for the draft lottery. But they added a little bit of flavor there last night. All right, so Nuggets handle the Lakers in game one. Triple-double for Joker, 34-21-14. And the betting line was 6 points. Final margin of victory for the Nuggets, 6 points. Watching last night, I wasn't sure what my takeaway was in this game because Denver played great. The Lakers came back. The Lakers could have won this game. AD played wonderfully offensively. He had 40. LeBron flirted with a triple-double. Austin Reeves had, I think, 23. I think they figured out something later in the game with Rui Hachimura on the Joker, and then letting AD sort of roam the way Ben Wallace used to for the Bad Boy Pistons. So if you're Denver and you got a triple-double out of Joker and Jamal Murray had 31, you're thinking, okay, can Murray replicate that? And they played really, it almost like they got tired late in the game, and then the Lakers came back. It took a while for the Lakers to figure out what was going on because they got him early. Here's LeBron after the loss.
It took us a half to get into the game, and that was pretty much the ball game right there. We got to understand that we got to start from the tip-off. They punched us in the mouth to start. You know, I think they had more offensive rebounds than we had total rebounds in the first half. And, you know, that led to them getting second-chance points. They also got on the fast break and killed us in the fast break in the first half, you know, and it was 10 for 10 from the free throw line. So, you know, I know the game is won in 48 minutes, but they set the tone in 24 minutes, and, you know, we're playing catch up for the next 24.
Yeah, and it takes so much energy to play catch up that that can, you know, leave you gassed later in the game. But it looked like Denver was tired. They set the pace, and, you know, certain players are meant for highlights, SportsCenter. Because, you know, let's face it, how many games are you watching? How many games of the Denver Nuggets did you watch this year? Games. Probably zero. Maybe you watched some, but, you know, Ja Morant is meant for SportsCenter. He's meant for those highlights. And we'll get into his comments and the commissioner's comments on Ja coming up. But you have to watch Joker play. Because if I show the highlights, oh, Nuggets won again, and they're the best team in the Western Conference, what am I going to show you? Maybe a spin move, maybe a nice bounce pass, maybe a step back three. Maybe. That's it. But you have to watch him to understand how great he is. Now, whether, you know, you wanted to vote for him for MVP, that's, you know, up to your discretion as far as, you know, publicly. I thought he was the MVP. No problem with Embiid winning it, but you watch Joker and he's unstoppable. The Lakers know it. The question is, can we limit everybody else? And if you watch him play a game, you understand how he does all of this. Because you can look at his numbers and go, I don't get it. He moves at his own pace. There's only a couple players I've seen this. Kawhi did this. Luka does this. And so does Joker. They move at a different pace, and therefore you have to move at that same pace. And he is great at playing angles. He uses his body. He's got great touch. He's the best passing big man. He's one of the best passers in the NBA. Offensive rebounding. You know, he gives you everything that you need. When he's out, man, they're a different team. But when he's in there, There's nobody else like him in the NBA. And you saw that last night. And that's the appreciation of watching. Now that they're in the Western Conference Finals and they're playing against the Lakers, there's more eyeballs on this. And I promise you, you'll get, you know, columnists who will say, or analysts, you know, looking at what he does, he should have been the MVP. Now, it's not based off what you do in the postseason. It's that people start watching an entire game and you go, God, that guy's good. It's almost like when you watch the Bucks when they were playing well and you went, oh, Chris Middleton can play. Or, man, Drew Holiday's a lot better. You weren't watching Milwaukee Bucks games. You know, we're top heavy with what we're viewing. We want to see the games. You know, the networks want to bring you the exciting players. Denver's not exciting. Not in the highlight era. And I can imagine how difficult that is if you're going to cut 45 seconds of highlights for the Denver Nuggets. And you go, what do we show? I don't know. Aaron Gordon dunk? Maybe Joker with a bounce pass? Backdoor cut? And that's it? Yes, Eaton.
How can you have that first half, though, last night and not be exciting? I mean, like, they were flying all over the place. It was like, it was an avalanche of...
No, highlights. If I'm just taking highlights.
Yeah.
Now, you watch the game, so it's different. You see it in context, and you go, man, they get up and down. They go.
How can you
passes?
Have a triple, basically a triple-double in the first half, a boring triple-double?
Yes. The only play, here's the only thing that people are going to remember, the step-back three over AD at the end of the third quarter.
Yeah,
that's it.
Right.
That's it.
Yeah.
Okay. And that, he even laughed about it with AD. Like, shot clock winding down, and he shoots it over AD. And that's the one they'll be like, man, that was lucky.
Because it was just stupid. It was just like, come on, dude. What is, come on.
Yes. But you have to watch him play. Certain players, you have to. Kawhi's one of those players. Kawhi's not a highlight meant, you know, waiting to happen. When he was even at his peak, he was a great two-way player, clutch player, pull-up jumper. You know, he would make those big plays. But it wasn't like, man, did you see Kawhi last night? Yeah.
And the highlight you think of is that one big shot from the corner.
Yeah. You know? But, you know, there's certain players that if you appreciate them when you watch a game, you don't appreciate them when they try to show you the highlights. All right, we'll come up with a poll question. We'll check in with Scott Hastings, the Nuggets broadcaster, former NBA player. And I think he still holds an NBA record. He didn't want to hold this record. I don't know if he still holds it. And I don't know if he wants me bringing it up. But I'm in a feisty mood today, so I will. This might be the most highly anticipated interview of the first day. No.
Wow.
Having a little bit of fun, Todd. Come on. Take a break. Back after this, Dan Patrick Show. Simply Safe Home Security. Spring is in the air. And that means when you do spring cleaning, make sure your home is safe with Simply Safe Home Security. Greater peace of mind. Fast Protect technology for fast response. Only Simply Safe has this. Now, that means that the monitoring agents visually verify the threat is real, and then you'll get fast police or fire response. You move up the list. You're in control from anywhere at any time. You have the Simply Safe app. Stay connected from anywhere, anytime. Arm, disarm your system remotely. Check your cameras to make sure everything's okay. Even unlock the front door and let a guest in. Simply Safe. They ship it right to your door. Easy for you to set up in about 30 minutes or less. Or you can have Simply Safe certified technicians install it for you. And they have financing. Secure your home today. Pay over time in installments that fit your budget. Go today, claim a free indoor security camera plus 20% off your order with interactive monitoring. SimplySafeDan.com. There's no safe like Simply Safe. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app.
There's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing.
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
All right, everybody, game off. Let's pause here to talk more about Monopoly Go. I know what you're saying. Flag on the play. You've already talked about that. But there's just so much more good stuff in this game. In Monopoly Go, you can team up with friends for time tournaments where you work together to build up each other's boards. The more you win together, the more awesome prizes you unlock.
And there's so much more to get. You can get unique stickers. You could trade with friends to compete albums for big prizes. There's cool new playing pieces to travel the boards with. I was always a battleship guy. You know, you get those pieces. Like, there was the hat. There was the shoe.
Oh, same.
There was the... I was always a battleship guy, or the car. You know what, too, is funny about a battleship? It's one of the only Monopoly pieces that you find that's not just a household item.
Wow, you know, I mean, even thought about that.
Yeah, most people don't have a battleship at home, but you have a car, you have a hat, you have a shoe, you have all those things. Anyway, you could also get hilarious emojis for taunting friends when you smash their buildings or heist their vaults. That's always fun. Plus, Monopoly Go feels new and exciting every day with constantly changing tournaments and challenges. A ton include their own unique mini games like digging for treasure or a robot Pachinko machine. And there's always new timed events that will help you win big, like massive multipliers for everything you win or rent frenzies.
There's always something fun to discover in Monopoly Go. So get off the bench and go download it for free right now on Google Play or the App Store. Game on.
It is getting that time of the year. It's Miller time. You don't need a watch or a clock to tell you. It's Miller time. Weather gets a little bit warmer. All of a sudden, the beer gets a little colder.
It's beer cracking season.
Okay. I don't know if it says that on the calendar. It's a beer that strips away everything you don't need and holds on to what matters the most. It's a light beer that tastes like beer. That's why I reach for a Miller Lite. And it's less filling. Only 96 calories. They've been doing this since 1975. They have perfected it. You know, that summer afternoon, we're coming into that time of the year, be like, oh, man.
Crack one?
Yes, or two. Don't look at your watch. Don't look at the clock. Don't look at the calendar. You know. Miller Lite, the great taste, less filling, tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Patrick, or you can pretty much find it anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories. For 12 ounces, fewer calories, fewer carbs than premium regular beer. Miller Lite. Decide on the poll question today, Seton O'Connor, or at least some of the options we have.
Well, I was going to throw out there, if you're the Lakers, how do you feel about last night's game? You saved face by coming back, or you let one slip away?
Okay.
That game was very winnable at the end.
Yeah, I was wondering... You know, the approach the Lakers have to game two, it's like, hey, you know what? We figured something out. Or if you're the Nuggets and you go, man, we had that performance by our two best players and we held on for dear life. Yes, he.
Because you could look at it, too, the other way as like, you know, both teams swung their best punches and the Nuggets came out on top.
Yeah, because am I going to get that performance out of Anthony Davis game two?
Right.
LeBron with the triple-double or flirting with it, I expect that. Austin Reeves gave you a good night. Hachimura played some really good defense there late in the game, or, you know, final quarter. It feels like the Lakers figured out something there. So how are you phrasing that?
I said saved face or let one slip away. If you're the Lakers, how do you feel about last night's game?
Okay. All right. 877-3DP-SHOW, email address dp@danpatrick.com, Twitter handle @DP Show. Scott Hastings, former NBA player, Nuggets TV color analyst. He was on site for game one with the Lakers and the Nuggets. Before I get to that, do you still hold an NBA record?
Dan, you know I do, and I know you're a bit proud of me, although you try to act like you're not. For slugs like me in the NBA, we grasp at any straws we can hold on to.
All right. Let my audience know what NBA record you hold.
Well, I'm at the other end of the spectrum of Chris Paul, and I own the NBA record of most consecutive games without a steal. But there's two parts of this record that's impressive.
Okay.
One, it's 54 games. Two, It went across three different seasons. So that right there, that listen, I've got kids that love me. I have four children that love me. And none of them were old enough to ever see me play, really. So they just get to see the cool pictures of, you know, me blocking Dr. J's shot or, you know, Michael Jordan or whatever. They don't know about the record.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, congrats.
But it is a pride. I do. Hey, I do hold a little pride of that. Listen, you know, come on, Dan. I hold a little pride of that.
And then I think you started 19 games in your career. 12 years, you started 19 games. Is that the fewest games started by somebody?
Who played 11 years and was never waived? Yeah. And I'll be real honest with you. I actually am very proud of the fact that I played 11 years, averaged like 2 points, and was never waived. I mean, that's kind of hard to do. I mean, right? I mean,
you know what? You were, Scott, you were the heart and soul of the teams that you played on. You know,
I really was.
Yes, lunch pail guy, first in, last out. You know, took care of your body. Okay.
Remember, Dan, that was the beer and hot dog era of the NBA. That was a whole different time.
All right. Let's go back to last night. If you're the Nuggets, how do you feel about getting that win?
That was very typical, to be honest with you, of a number of wins this year. If Denver has in my opinion, an Achilles heel, if you will, is they when they think the game's gotten easy, they kind of go. And I've seen them do that before, where they're up 15, 18, 20, 24, and all of a sudden here comes the starters, have to come back in and rescue. And if you look at the numbers, they're one of the best closing teams in the NBA throughout the season. The problem is you're in the Western Conference Finals and you're playing against one of the best, if not arguably the best team the last third of the season in all of the NBA, and that's a dangerous recipe. The good that came out of it, in my opinion, you were talking about this going into break a while ago, or coming back into break, with Hachimura coming over and they did this, and they said, had a little success, I got you. They also showed their hand of what's going to happen for game two.
Sure.
And instead of that coming out of game two and maybe shocking Denver and themselves pulled a big lead, I think Denver just got 48 hours to prepare for Hachimura on Joker instead of Anthony Davis.
Yeah, that's a great point. If you were going to describe the Joker's game to somebody who hadn't seen him.
I'm going to give you two stories. I went to Vlade Divac. It was probably Joker's second year of starting or playing quite a bit. And I get to see him every night. I mean, I've called or been involved in every single game of Joker's career. And I went to Vlade because he reminded me of Vlade. And I asked him, I said, and this was a halftime, I said, Vlade, you're the only guy that I reminds me of. And he goes, oh, he's already better than me. This is like his second year in the league before he got all the accolades. We're in London playing a game, and Isaiah Thomas, who I played with in Detroit, I tell him before the game, I said, watch this kid. I think this kid's going to be the best player that's ever played for the Denver Nuggets. I said, he reminds me of Vlade. I don't know, maybe a younger Spurs. But let's be honest, Dan, you were covering the game. Oh, there's my daughter. Say hello to Mr. Patrick. There you go. Only on the Dan Patrick show. But I said, Isaiah, watch this guy because I think he's the best that's ever going to play for the Nuggets. And I said, see who he reminds you of. And we came back and put him on the show in the third quarter. And we said, who do you think? And he goes, he reminds me of Magic Johnson. So I've seen some comparisons of that from an early part in his career. And I would say this. Remember when anybody comes out that's good. Dirk Nowitzki came out, and I remember the draft. I was working for Turner during the draft. And everybody said, well, he's a Larry Bird. He's a Larry Bird type. All these guys get compared to guys until – they do what they do and what Joker's doing. And now it's time for everybody to start comparing, you know, themselves to Joker. I don't think he's like anybody. He's got a little magic. He's got a little bit of Bill Russell rebounding-wise. He's got a little bit of touch of a Tim Duncan, who, by the way, was his favorite player growing up in Europe. He's Nikola Jokic. I'm telling you. We had Dan Issel on my radio show. Yes, Dan Issel already said he's the best Nuggets ever played. Dan Issel's in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, I told people that this is a great time to be able to watch him play because he's not a highlight guy. He's a game guy. And there's certain guys who are like that, that you watch the game and then you go, okay, I get it. Because if you don't, it's like Kawhi Leonard. You watch Kawhi Leonard and you're going, all right, no highlights. But watch him during a game and you go, okay, I get it. Controls the tempo. And I think Joker does that. We're talking to Scott Hastings, the Nuggets TV color analyst, former NBA player. I was also wondering about this with the altitude. When you play in a, you know, you're going to be playing in a series in a city, like obviously Denver, is there less of an impact or more of an impact with the altitude on the Lakers?
I think there's more. I think statistics have kind of proven that through the year and the analytics of blood science and stuff like that. I will say this. I don't know if you guys have talked about this. I thought last night was one of the, if not the most important game of the series. One, L.A. had won every game in the series. This is going to be the only game, either team, but Denver, last time I looked, doesn't have a guy with 20 years on his legs. But it's going to be the only team that everybody's going to be resting. Because now every game now goes every other day with travel in between games two and three and travel in between games four, five and six, whatever. And I thought it was important for Denver to win the game by hook or by crook because now it's going to be fast and furious. And I think that side's better with guys that are in their, you know, mid-20s than late 30s.
You played, well, at least you were at games.
I watched.
When Jordan played, when Bird played, when Magic played. Any favorite story? You got a story out of any of those three?
Man, I'm going to tell you one quick one. This Jordan's Jordan, right? Jordan's still Jordan. 30 years later, Jordan's still Jordan. I'm with the Miami Heat. I'm an OG. I was on the expansion team. And we're playing in Chicago. And Jordan comes off a pick about 16 feet, elbow extended. I come off hedge. He pulls up a jumper. I catch and block it. And it goes out of bounds. Baby, bang, horn blows. I'm getting subbed out. So I go to the bench, and I'm thinking, Scott Hastings, I just blocked Michael Jordan's jump shot. I'm coming over. I come down, sit down, not a peep. I don't get a pat on the butt from the coaches. I don't get a, you know, attaboy.
You woke him up.
I don't get nothing. I get down and sit there, get some water, get a towel, rub my face, sit down, still nothing. Now I'm stewing. I mean, I finally get up after sitting down on the bench about 30 seconds, and I face the whole bench. You know, I'm standing on the court, and I said, "Tell Michael Jordan to get that out of there." The whole bench, and including the coaching staff, fall out in the middle of the game. Now, we're expansion team to win 15 games. They fall out in the middle of the game because somebody had set up, hey, let's see how long it takes for Hastings has to say something for blocking the shot. So, yeah, I played the great era. Charles and I have had a lot of fun with the TNT stuff. We had some rivalries when he was with Philly and I was with Detroit. I got to play against Bird. I've become okay friends when Kevin McHale took over for Minnesota. I got to talk to him all the time. I played in a great era. I got to watch some. And you were covering those games,
yeah.
Man. You know, yeah. It was some of the greatest individual and teams that will ever play, period.
You are second all-time, I think, with fewest starts. Yeah, Paulie.
Minimum 500 games played in NBA history. Scott Hastings has 19 starts. That's second all-time fewest starts to Scotty Brooks, 680 games played, seven starts.
Okay.
And I would have been a better coach.
Than Scotty Brooks?
Oh, come on now.
Okay.
Come on now. Right. Yeah. Right. No, I'm just kidding. Scotty's a good dude. Somebody could look it up. I think I was probably 18 in one of my starts. Better yet, don't look it up, but let's just say that for future appearances.
Yeah.
18-1 in his 19 starts.
Not bad. Not bad. You're still doing it, though. Still entertaining. Hey, yeah.
Dan, you got such a special show. My daughter and now my cat has jumped up on my lap. So, only on the Dan Patrick show.
Good to talk to you. We'll catch up with you again.
90% of my day, and I'm on a national show, and I get them. Now they love me.
Thank you, Scott.
I love you, man.
Scott Hastings, Nuggets TV color analyst, former NBA player. He was a member of the 1990 NBA champion Pistons. Fun guy. Great sense of humor there. So we got the poll question. Has to do with how do you feel about last night's game if you're the Lakers? Right, Seton?
Yep, that's the one. You want some early voting?
Yeah.
Right now, about 58% of the audience say the Lakers just saved face last night.
Mm.
But lots of people think that they let one slip away.
I do.
That game was
LeBron
right there.
LeBron missed a couple of free throws, missed a shot.
It's a one-point game if he hits those free throws.
Reeves misses a three. They had good looks there. Let's see. Solomon in L.A. leads us off this morning. Hi, Solomon.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Sure. Yeah, I'm a disgruntled L.A. fan. I think they let one get away. Specifically, LeBron in crunch time. I know he had a great game, triple-double, whatever. Here's his record on in crunch time. Blew to two free throws, right? Throws up a three. Again, the man is shooting 23%. You're not Steph, okay?
Yep.
You're more like Russell Westbrook. Stop with the three-point shots, especially with 40 seconds to go. Then with 26 seconds to go, he drops a pass. Game over. Now, why I'm really irritated about the three thing is this is the man that prides himself on making the correct basketball play. That's not the correct basketball play, LeBron. So he let me down, and I think he let his team down in crunch time.
Right.
Don't take me to the altar and forget to bring the ring.
All right. Thank you, Solomon. LeBron falling in love with the three. Like, he wants to prove that he's a shooter. He's a scorer. I mean, all-time leading scorer, he's not an all-time leading shooter. And when he falls in love with that three, and he's streaky, but, you know, got to hit your free throws. I mean, these great players do great things, and he didn't when they needed him to do that last night. Shannon in Indiana. Hi, Shannon. What's on your mind today?
Morning, DP, fellas. How are you?
Hey, bud.
Good. Hey, I just wanted to comment. You know, you were talking about the legacy stuff, and I agree with you, LeBron. He overexceeded. I'm just wondering, you know, they're talking about this guy, this European guy.
Yeah.
Or whatever. But what about the Manning dude coming up? He's going to be more hyped than ever. Look at the NIL money he's already got. He ain't even played a college game, Dan.
Yeah, that's true. Arch Manning. And he won't be the starting quarterback at Texas. Quinn Ewers is going to be. But, yes, there's a whole lot of hype with the family lineage there, with his grandfather and, of course, his uncles. But, yeah, there's a lot of players who had a lot of hype going into their sport. And you know, there's not enough people who remember when Lou Alcindor was coming out of college. First of all, he's the greatest college player of all time. Not even close. He's the greatest, most dominating player. He won three titles. If he was allowed to play as a freshman, he would have won four titles. Most outstanding player. He lost, I think, two games in his entire college career. And one was when he had a scratched cornea. And the other one was when, I think, USC held the ball. So him going in, there was a coin flip between the Phoenix Suns and the Milwaukee Bucks. The winner got Lou Alcindor. The loser of the coin toss got Neil Walk. There was a whole lot of hype around Lou Alcindor. And then Milwaukee won that. Neil Walk went to the Phoenix Suns. Changed basketball history there. But LeBron, the hype. Lou Alcindor was known as a high school player back then. So you didn't have social media. He was known. It was like Power Memorial. This, have you seen this kid? And then where was he going to go to school? Leaves New York, goes to L.A., plays for John Wooden. He wins three national championships. That can't be understated, how big he was. So Victor Wembanyama is a curiosity right now. How many people have seen a game that he's played? Like a full game? And the answer is probably none of you. You watch. It's like when Luka was playing. I saw the highlights and I go, he can't be this good. And then I watch the game and I go, yeah, he is this good. And he was like 16 or 17 going against grown men. But Victor Wembanyama is a curiosity. We've seen the highlights. We know how tall he is. We know his wingspan. We know he's got handle. We saw, you know, the summer league game, the preseason game. And then there was the, oh, okay. And then you realize he's got great, great potential there. I don't know why this bothered me, but it did, just because it's the recency bias of, oh my gosh, because we've had, oh my God, I can go back to Felipe Lopez. Remember that hype?
Yes.
Sebastian Telfair. Remember that hype? It doesn't always work out. Jabari Parker. How about Amani Bates, a freshman in high school, and we were hearing about him? How about O.J. Mayo? Amani Bates, as a freshman, was considered, I think, the best player in Michigan. Where's he now? Didn't he end up at Eastern Michigan? And I think he's at a rookie tryout. Yes, Marv?
Yeah, I was watching yesterday because, again, I don't have a life. I was watching the NBA Draft Combine, and I saw Amani Bates there. Three years ago, there's no way. I would have bet the house. I would have bet my house that Amani Bates would not be at a draft combine. Yeah. He'd be sitting there at the draft lottery last night.
Yes.
With the rest of the top prospects.
Yes. Yeah, Paul.
Superstars don't go to directional schools. That's a motto. I've always had that.
Mm.
If you're not going to Eastern, Western, Northwestern-ish.
Let's take a break. Play of the day up next. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app.
Hey, I'm Doug Gottlieb. The podcast is called All Ball. We usually talk all basketball all the time, but it's more about the stories about what made these people love their sport and all the interesting interactions along the way. We talk to coaches. We talk to players. We tell you stories. You download it. You listen to it. I think you'll like it. Listen to All Ball with Doug Gottlieb on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
All right, everybody. Game off. Let's pause here to talk more about Monopoly Go. I know what you're saying. Flag on the play. You've already talked about that. But there's just so much more good stuff in this game. In Monopoly Go, you can team up with friends for timed tournaments where you work together to build up each other's boards. The more you win together, the more awesome prizes you unlock.
And there's so much more to get. You can get unique stickers. You could trade with friends to compete albums for big prizes. There's cool new playing pieces to travel the boards with. I was always a battleship guy. You know, you get those pieces, like there was the hat, there was the shoe.
Oh, same.
I was always a battleship guy or the car. You know what, too, is funny about a battleship? It's one of the only Monopoly pieces that you find that's not just a household item.
Wow, you know, I mean, even thought about that.
Yeah, most people don't have a battleship at home, but you have a car, you have a hat, you have a shoe, you have all those things. Anyway, you could also get hilarious emojis for taunting friends when you smash their buildings or heist their vaults. That's always fun. Plus, Monopoly Go feels new and exciting every day with constantly changing tournaments and challenges. A ton include their own unique mini games like Digging for Treasure or a robot Pachinko machine. And there's always new timed events that will help you win big, like massive multipliers for everything you win or rent frenzies.
There's always something fun to discover in Monopoly Go. So get off the bench and go download it for free right now on Google Play or the App Store. Game on.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise, set several generations after the last installment, in which apes are the dominant species. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape will fight for the future of apes and humans alike and embark on a journey that will redefine the planet. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and in theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
Oh, my God.
The play. The play's called play. Of the day.
Sweater left side, got it!
We're going to play it and play it.
This is the play of the day.
Check this out.
Jokic has it at the point. You got to shoot it. Does for three.
Got it at the horn! Right over Anthony Davis.
Davis. And then Davis turns around and says something to Nikola Jokic. And Davis goes to the bench and is laughing. That was flat out stupid right there, man. That thing hit the top of Ball Arena's ceiling.
That's courtesy of Altitude Radio Network. Joker, first player with three consecutive triple-doubles in the postseason since? Anybody want to take a guess? Marvin?
LeBron.
No. Paulie?
James Harden?
No. Todd?
I was going to say LeBron, too.
Seton?
It's not Harden.
Draymond Green?
Ooh.
Wow.
Draymond Green? Yes. Yes. Play of the day brought to you by the all-new Traeger Flat Rock Flat Top Grill. It's here, and it is awesome. Visit Traeger.com to unleash your full grilling potential. And you can check out the Flat Rock today at Traeger.com. Remember, use the promo code DPSHOW at checkout to get free shipping. By the way, Steve Kerr finally said what we've been saying, and I was surprised at these comments Steve Kerr said about Draymond Green and the punch with Jordan Poole.
There's no hiding from it. The incident with Draymond and Jordan at the beginning of the year played a role in that. It's hard for that not to impact a team. And so, you know, we feel like we have a great group of people on the roster, on the coaching staff, in the front office. We have a way of doing things that we're very proud of, but those things were definitely challenged this year. Anytime some trust is lost, then it makes the process much more difficult. And there was some trust lost, and that's as blunt as I can be.
I'm surprised he said this, but Steve's calculated. Who does he want to hear this? I'm assuming you've talked to Draymond and Jordan Poole, but why say this? Unless, let's clear the air. This is why we didn't advance. This was always there. We knew this. It was simmering the entire season. And it felt like it fractured the locker room, the younger players and the older players. Because once again, you watch that highlight, if you want to call it a highlight. When Draymond Green decks Jordan Poole, nobody is rushing to grab and rough up Draymond Green, or nobody is there to really go to Jordan Poole's aid. Takes a little while. That was really alarming to me because I read into that. The veterans were like, yeah, all right, shut him up. And he chirps a lot, thinks he's a star. We're the ones, we're responsible for chips here. That was what I read into that. All right, some phone calls here. Clint in Iowa. Hi, Clint. What's on your mind today?
Hey, what's going on, Dan?
Hi, Clint.
So just like real quick, I got a couple things. But first of all, the player in the past that reminds me or that Joker reminds me of just does it unless you see it. You don't understand it because Tim Duncan, he was just, you know, blah-zy blah, but he put up highlights and he was good. Nobody could keep up with him, but he didn't look fast. He didn't really have that flash, but he was great.
Yep.
You know, and then second of all, and to find out that was his favorite player growing up makes total sense. Second of all, though, scary situation. We know the owners like to spend money and they don't care about the tax, you know, the cap tax. What if they get rid of Poole, bring in Damian, and
they're not like, that's not happening. That's not happening. And if you're Dame Lillard, and I thought Portland was going to win the lottery. It's like, oh, they're going to be in the top three.
I thought we nailed it yesterday.
Like, I had a dream. Like, Portland's winning. And then all of a sudden, it's like, they went to commercial break. They came back, and they go, and with the third pick, the Portland.
That's an exciting 3 minutes
of
Portland.
It was. Yes. It was. But I thought, okay. But you're going to get a really good player at three. I feel bad for the Pistons. Because they were really bad, and then they don't even get into the top three. They finished fifth in the lottery. They had five fewer wins than the Spurs did. Yikes. What about Greg Popovich? He's 74, I think. Now you bring in Victor Wembanyama? How much longer you want to coach? 1 hour in the books, two more to go. Reggie Miller will stop by as well in a little bit.
It's Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff, are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddie?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you ask two people the same seven questions. I'm Minnie Driver, and this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Mini Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same seven questions, including Courtney Cox, Rob Delaney, Liz Phair, and many, many more. Join me on season three of Mini Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Seven questions, limitless answers.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.